Okay, the computer here is not cooperating. Yay. Okay, well, it's El HaMechilos. Mizmor, hey, for a song or for the conductor. El HaMechilos. What is the meaning of the word Mechilos? So, Mizmor Ledavi. So, right away, let's see over here the Mitzvah stuff. It says the word Mechilos means a musical instrument. There are many interpretations. Some know that it means in Mitzudas David, Pasik Aleph. There isn't Mitzudas David, there is not Mitzudas David. No. So look at the Mitzudas Sion. The Mitzudas Sion also says that thing. So
it says,
Lashem Lechil Shel Dvar. It means a swarm of Dvar, Hushem Kli Zemer. It's a cleaver. He says something that no one else says. Why is it called a swarm? Well, because it makes a shrieking sound, just like when a person is in the vicinity of a swarm of bees. It's a very unpleasant experience to hear that sound. That is the sound of this musical instrument. It makes a shrieking sound,
but it's
similar.
Not unpleasant.
What?
Talking about the swarm of bees, that's a buzzing sound.
So it's not. It doesn't sound like you'd want to sound for music, right?
No,
right. So maybe we don't know really what music is. Who says music is supposed to be always pleasant? Music is supposed to bring out a certain emotion, a certain feeling. Bees have a lot of mileage to them. There's loyalty to the queen bee. There's a special loyalty, and bees they work. They teamwork. Bees are very much into teamwork. So maybe when we think of musical instruments, so we think, oh, it has to sound pleasant to the ears, like food. Yeah, you want to have a delicious meal. Maybe we got it all wrong. Maybe it's not about our pleasure. Music is purely to bring out a certain trigger, memory. A memory or an idea that is applicable to the subject at hand. Bees, when you hear the swarming sound of bees, it right away opens up your mind to a certain sensation of loyalty, the mother bee, and that is necessary to understand the meaning of these words. It's not like, you know, you go to a concert and the concert, oh, it's going to be so pleasant. It's an intellectual experience. Whoever said song, music, a concert is a delightful and emotional thing. Let's see. Who says it's an emotional experience? Maybe the purpose is it should be an intellectual experience. Okay, having a lot of trouble with this computer here.
One thing for sure, today's music is not music. So, good riot.
So, I don't know how to get these people logged on here. Wait a few minutes.
I see the context. I just flipped through.
Yeah.
They mentioned fila. So why can't they say Vayichal?
What do you mean?
Vayichal Moshe. It's fila.
Okay.
Hamnatzeach ala tfilot. Hamechilot ha'ele ze ha'tfila. Vayichal v'rabim kind of thing.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? what do you mean? Why is one? Vayichal. Why is Vayichal tefila?
Vayichal Moshe v'Hashem
l'Tav. Yeah.
You're saying
tefila
is
Lashon of
Vayichal
Moshe v'Hashem l'Tav. Vayichal Moshe v'Hashem l'Tav. Lama Hashem yichal v'Yamecha. Okay, interesting. You want to say it comes from that word? Okay, maybe. We are going to see other ideas. Let's show you a little bit over here more. So, I'm just trying to get the people over here online because my computer, my fault, is not behaving. All right, let's go first. So, therefore, the Mitzudah Sion says, because Lord Lashon of Nechil Shal Devar Mesum of Mitzvush Kli Zemer, he then goes on and says, it's a musical instrument. On page 36. Page
30. No,
in the Mitzudah, it's Gzudah, the Mitzudah is Tzion.
Okay.
On the very, very bottom. On the very bottom.
Recording in progress.
And just put them on. one second. Rabbi Leza, can you hear me? Rabbi Leza? Alan? Alan, can you hear me? Okay, I'm sorry that we had a hard time with the computer this morning. We're in the middle of page 36.
Very low, very low.
Okay, maybe we'll come on a little bit, we'll come on soon. There's a problem with the computer.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Let's give it a few moments.
Breaking up.
Okay, give it a few moments. Let's see. Okay, let's go for them. It might boot up a little bit more. Needs more power. Maybe we'll see. All right, let's go to the Rashi. Let's go to the Rashi. Rashi, the Ramasa. Rashi plus on page 36.
It's breaking up.
Okay, give it a moment. Give it a few moments. Okay, give it a few moments. The computer needs to wake up. El hanechilos, menachem pasa b'chulam nechilos alamos gitas. I'm reading Rashi, page 36. Menachem is I don't know how to say it correctly, a grammarian, expert in grammar. Menachem parasah b'chulam nechilos va'alamos gitis yidusun. All of these words in Luke's book, b'chulam shirim shkli zemli. All the names of different musical instruments. Uneimus hanizmar ha'isan is very powerful. Rashi uneimus. The pleasantness of the nizmar ha'isan lefi. Sheer haroy lo isikli was equivalent, according to the melody, uneimus hamizmar, the neimus of the mizmar, the pleasantness of the mizmar, how it's so correspondent, lefi sheer haroy lo isikli. Each song demanded a certain type of musical instrument, and therefore, unfortunately, we do not know what these musical instruments are. We do not really know the melody. Right. So he understood. Therefore, this is a unique musical instrument which was fitting and appropriate for this specific mizmar. And the ein ze mashmos ateva. However, Rashi disagrees. Rashi says he does not believe the word nechilos is a musical instrument. The gam inyan hamizmar ena medam benachala. And the mizmar is not, and those do not suggest to say, I skip. Umedrash Agoda, quote Mahasefer, the Medrash Agoda Sasefer, perish, Nechilos Lashon Nachalo, an inheritance. So a Lamnat Seach, this is for the conductor, this is a mizmar, El HaNechilos, in reference to the inheritance. Which inheritance? To the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish land. The Ein Ze Mashmo Sateva, he disagrees. Rashi says, well, if, yeah?
Obviously, the Medrash had a drash on it.
Correct.
But he says that doesn't explain Pshat.
Correct. And also the word. You never have the word in plural. Nachla always is in singular. Anachala. An inheritance. Not to say nechilos, the plural, that's itself a red flag. And the way it's used of the neshuva, nechilos, does not sit well with Rashi, that we are referring to a song thanking Hashem for our inheritance. He does not like this. Period. What then does it mean? The Yitachin Liftar, it is possible to interpret nechilos, l'shon giyosos, an army. The word nechilos is a new word to enter your vocabulary. It means an army. Kimo nechil shel divoidim. He borrows from what it says in the Mitzvah Stav. Now, obviously, Shulda came a lot later, but he's taking the idea in the Mitzvah Stav that nechilos is a swarm. It is a nechilos, that's how it's used in the Gemara. Nechil shel divoidim. Kimo v'nachalei v'lial. We have the nachalei v'lial means the army, the battalion, the group of the disgusting. Tirgim yoinasan. That pasuk. In later on, a band. There he translates a siyas chayovin, a band of evil people that are troubled. So you see the word Nachale, Viliyahu, later on in Sefer Tehillim, is translated by the Targum to mean a siyas. A siyas means a group of people, a band, an army, a battalion, a collection of people. Now, so now that we know that this word means it is a giyosas, it means a battalion, now let's understand what is this mitzvah coming to teach, what is David coming to reflect upon. Tefillah, this is a praise, b'shvil gaisois oivim haboim al Yisrael. This is a tefillah in reference to the Jewish people under attack. Being under attack, there are gaisois, there are armies that are poised, that are lying in ambush, that are waiting to attack the Jewish people. And this mizmar is a mizmar that David is expressing, I guess in hindsight, that we achieve salvation from this great danger. The Omar HaMeshoirer, as a mizmar b'shvil kol Yisrael, David is saying this mizmar on behalf of the entire Klal Yisrael.
I'm thinking of Sabuni Kitavarim.
Ah, they surrounded me like bees.
Yeah.
And over here we're focusing on the Nechilois, so it's, you're saying Nechil, very good, fantastic. So that pasuk, each pasuk is filling in a different element, but it's the same idea, the Nechil Shel Devarim, a swarm of bees. This word, Nechil, is used mainly in reference to bees, the swarm, the collection, the organization. Bees are supposedly very, very organized. Every single bee has a very precise mission. There's teamwork, similar to an army. In the army, the koyach of an army is in the teamwork. I knew someone that was a coach. He's not well known, this person, older person, a coach years ago in basketball. And he told me that he was very heavily steeped in the world of basketball, the professional scene, the college scene that he used to teach. And he told me, I said, so what's the difference between now and then? So he says, the very big difference. Today in the NBA, every player thinks he's a Gadol Hador. Every player has to show off. That's for sure. Each player thinks that he's a superstar and he doesn't need the team. The team is not important. I stand. If you have two superstars, each one can go and they can win the game all by themselves, and the other people just support them. That's not the way it was back 50 years ago. 50 years ago, there were no superstars. No one person on the team can go shoot from midcourt and shoot back. It didn't work like that. The koyach of basketball, when he, in his heyday, was teamwork. Each person was just, was limited, was very limited in their abilities, and the koyach was how well each member of the team understood their co-player, and how they all worked together to achieve success, and that was so much more powerful, it was so much more chokhmah, and it was so much more interesting. The game, he said today, in his opinion, is very boring. You're just watching these big shots, everyone trying to be their own person and win the game all by themselves. The koyach of battle, of success in life, is teamwork. And Nechil Shel Devarim represents the ultimate teamwork. Bees are very unique in this respect.
They communicate very well.
All insects are amazing. Their communication skills are beyond belief. You see these ants. I had not so long ago an infestation of ants. And trying to figure out where they are coming from, and in the process it's just amazing how they communicate. You really see how they communicate with one another. One ant finds food, and somehow it sends a signal to all the other ants, come, there's food. And then when we put poison in that area, so it's like, oh, they communicate, stay away from this area. What?
They have
smartphones. Yeah, I don't know what they have, but their communication skills are just beyond belief. And then you talk of the bees is not just a communication, it's the organization. It's organized crime. They know each one compensates for what the other one is lacking, and they all work together as a team. Nechil Shel Devarim represents the dogma in the Bria for an army, for people to come together to fight to achieve a purpose. So as you said correctly.
I saw something very interesting. Previous paragraph, he said, "La Matzeach in Gilgot."
Yes.
And he's talking about protection.
Okay.
Hashem is a magen.
Okay.
Gilgot, he was talking Gilgot, magen.
Okay.
Here, the Gilgot, he's talking about all kind of people, and I just so many talking about the people. So that's why he changes the expression, the Gilgot, and here and the Gilgot.
Mogen, Negina, you want to say the Negina, Nevina is related to the word Mogain.
Yeah.
The Gimel and the Nun Mogain. And the Mem somehow turned into a Nun. It dropped away. Very, very interesting.
It's not exactly.
You want to say that Nevina relates to Baruch Atah Hashem Mogain Avraham, Mogain David. It relates to a shield. It's protection. Protection. Here is the offensive. To go on the offensive. To go. Okay, very, very interesting. It's a battalion where you're going. You're marching ahead. You're going on the offensive. In the previous mizmar, you want to say that the focus is protection, and this mizmar is to go on the offensive.
We learned the Radam at the beginning of the third Dalit.
Yeah.
The Yeshmin, you know, is an Ikra, and all the names, the Yeshmin, the Nechiloids, Yeshmiyoids.
Right. So that was Radam.
Right.
He chooses.
Now, the Chiloids, the way you're saying, like the bees, it's basically, this I'm combining, it's a drone. It's a one note, which
okay.
is the music of them repeated like a. So it also goes according to a common sense. You have soldiers who have a straight movement, orchestrated, let's say, attack. So there's a certain strength when they all come with the same, movement, with the same pattern.
In unison.
Right. So that's what
okay. Absolutely. So what do we take away from this? We take away from this, we have multiple translations of the word Nechilos. According to the Mitzvah Stav, the word is, everyone is unique, everyone is novel in their understanding. According to the Mitzvah Stav, the word Nechilos means it's a sound. We're coming to focus specifically on a very particular sound. It is a buzzing sound. To me, it would be annoying. It would sound annoying. We're now going to recite a Mizmar, and this Mizmar needs a unique background noise. Everyone knows when you see a little video clip online, you play a little music, it creates a mood, right? When you want to go impress upon, it's a trick, you play it in your mind. You want to have someone's giving a speech, and the speech really is total nonsense, doesn't make one word of sense. But you go and you play music in the background, a certain kind of melody, it creates a certain mood. And then just the certain words that are said, that opens up and it creates an experience. That's what music is all about. You're trying to create an emotional experience with a certain sound. According to the Mitzvah Stava, the word the reason why it says Nechilos, the word Nechilos refers to a very specific musical instrument that produces a sound that is a shrieking sound similar to a swarm of bees. That's all the Mitzvah Stava says. Rashi doesn't say that in the beginning. Rashi says the word Nechilos is the name of a musical instrument. Does not get into what kind it is, what kind of sound it is. And Adarabba, from Rashi, it's mashma that it's not a shrieking sound, because a shrieking sound does not have ni'imus. Rashi learns use the word klezemer uni'imus hamizmar hoisa lefishir. Those words should be extracted and put up on the screen. Those are very important words of Rashi. That the ni'imus of the mizmar, the pleasantness of the mizmar, was determined based upon the song that was fitting for a particular musical instrument. Many things have to come together to create the experience. There has to be a musical instrument. There has to be a certain composition of shir. And the goal is to take the two together and to create a ni'imus, a pleasantness. The Mitzvah David says, and it sounds like a swarm of bees. A swarm of bees does not sound to me to be a very pleasant experience.
That's right.
Is there such a thing? Could you make an argument to suggest? Now, Yosher Be'er Soloveitchik, really, I think he loses this type of idea. He very, very often of Yosher Be'er Soloveitchik in his writings, he takes things that we assume to be emotional experiences and he transforms them into intellectual experiences. For example, Avelos. It's very shocking. Anyone has, there is an art scroll published, who published, they published a book for a Beis Ovel. There's a special sefer for a Beis Ovel. A sitter, of all this, the nuschois, all of the unique halachos and the tefillos in the Beis Avot, I think it's also, I think in the Hakdama, there's an introduction. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's Narvia Shaver, Ari Salvechik. But he definitely says this somewhere. And he very much understands mourning to be an intellectual experience, which is very disturbing for most people. Most people, when they talk about avelos, it's purely an emotional experience. A person suffered, he lost a relative, someone he knows, no longer here, and it's painful. It triggers emotion, and a person has to know how to deal with that emotion. And there are halachas, there are tefillos, the first day, three, zaninos, avelos, the first 3 days, 7 days, 30 days, a year, kaddish, this, all of these things. These are all emotional tools, a whole toolbox of things that a person can do to properly be able to channel his tsar, his pain and frustration in the world of avelos.
I had last night, I had a health guide. He was sitting on the internet, and he sent it together with the Philharmonic Orchestra. And he said something from Nishmat, I think it was. I think Yossel Rosenblatt composed it. And he sang, and he stopped the orchestra every time another instrument came in. And exactly what you said. It was such a masterpiece. I never heard something like that.
Yes, send us the link.
It's somebody composing together with the singer.
With
the words, and I heard suddenly it was
the music has to match the melody, and the musical instruments have to come together with the words. So, but the point, by the way, is the Mitzvah David. By telling us that focusing on the sound of the bees, we've all heard this buzzing sound of bees. We've all heard this sound. It's not a pleasant sound, and in fact, it's a disturbing sound. Yet Rashi clearly doesn't say that. Rashi goes out of his way to say these powerful words, the ni'imus ha-mizmar hoisa, the pleasantness of the mizmar was l'fi shir ha-ra'uy lo'isa kli. It was built, depended very much on the song that was fitting for that particular musical instrument. But he says nimus. The Mitzvah started by telling us that this thing called the nechilois is the sound of bees. That's not pleasant. That's not pleasant at all. That's disturbing.
Have you ever heard of the classical piece Flight of the Bumblebee? Which suggests such a sound.
So then what would it mean? It would mean that whoever said song is pleasant. Song is not pleasantness we associate with emotion. Person goes to a concert. It's an emotional experience. Who says? Maybe it's meant to be an intellectual experience. And there's chokhmah, and there is analysis of Hashem's world. Well, obviously different strokes, different folks. Person, and not every person is, there are different types of people. There are certain people that don't really connect to emotion. They're just not who they are. They are stiff, and they are attracted to intellectual experiences. And other people, they're not into that. They want the emotional experience. And you see here on the page over here, a very different approach to this word nechilos, which is obviously related to bees, or maybe it's not related to bees. And the Mitzvah stuff, it says, that buzzing sound, that's disturbing. Yeah, we want you to be disturbed. We want you to be, because this is not an emotional experience. This mizmar is going to be an intellectual experience of what, of this, there are disturbing things that are going on in this world that you have to prepare yourself to relate to. Not everything in this world is pleasant. There are a lot of and yet, even though it's disturbing, you have to be able to thank Hashem and deal with it on an intellectual level. Rashi's, no, that's not what we're doing over here. The whole Tehillim, from beginning to end, is an emotional experience. You want to have an intellectual experience? Go to the Litvax. Go learn a Daf Gemara. Go learn a Daf Gemara.
A different
Mizmah. This is not Everything over here, according to Rashi, is emotion. If it's emotion, there has to be ni'imos. Ni'imos, so what is this funny word? Be the sound, no way. No way, cannot possibly be. It was a pleasant sound. What is the pleasant sound? I don't know, but it was a musical instrument. Rashi ultimately doesn't like this, he rejects this. And then mentions the second interpretation called a nachala, an inheritance. What inheritance? So if you look at the Mefarshim, they do talk about this other idea of inheritance, which is Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and an inheritance of Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Other Mefarshim here on the page, they mention this idea. I don't remember, I marked it off my other sefer. They mention this idea of a nachala. Okay, I can't find it in this moment, but it's a nachla.
Obviously basing it on the Medrash.
On the Medrash, which Rashi is, and it's B'loshon Rabin, nachla, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us two nachalas. Either the nachalas are Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, or Hashem has given us the nachla of Torah Shebechsav and the nachla of Torah Shebaal Peh. Rashi rejects that as well. And Rashi's preferred interpretation is that this mizmar, Lamatzecha Al Nechilos, is going to be an orchestra of like none other. It's going to have an enormous number of musicians and singers, and there's going to be coordination. There'll be coordination and interaction where they all come together as a gaios, like an army. An army where every single soldier has a very specific mission and purpose, and they all work together with coordination to achieve a teamwork, an incredible, awesome goal. Rabbi Blazes, the sound better now? Is it okay now?
Now it's good.
Okay, good. Okay, Baruch Hashem.
It doesn't break down.
Okay, good.
I'm looking at the Metzudah David translation, and they're using the wind instruments, which would be
the wind instrument.
Army instruments.
Okay.
Like
Arnold yesterday. Which say that again?
The chief with the wind instrument, Nathalie.
The wind instruments.
Yeah. Like army orchestra is usually wind instruments. The blowing the horns.
Okay. The Metzudas David says, well, there is no Metzudas David over here. You probably read from some different parish. There's no Metzudas David, at least I don't see on my page. It is the Metzudas Tzion that says it means a swarm, it means in Lashon Nechil Shel Dvar. Okay, then Rashi gives his interpretation. So therefore the bottom line over here is, we have an unusual new vocabulary word today. Nechilois. Either it's a musical instrument, either it's a disturbing sound, a B sound from also a particular instrument, or it is a Miloshon Nachala, an inheritance. Here it's Miloshon Rabim, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, or as Rashi prefers, it is an organization, a very fine-tuned organization with many moving parts, which all are coordinated with precision and teamwork to achieve something magnificent. Okay, so those are the basic translation of the word Nechilos. Now, next go pasuk base.
It's according to what he asked later.
Right, we have right. We have to now that we know what this is. Now we'll understand. Obviously, we know what kind of. Now we come to all these words. Let's see. Amorai, my words. Hazina Hashem, listen. Hazina means to listen carefully. Hazinu Hashamayim va'adaber v'sishma haaretz imreifi. There are two words for listening in Parshas Hazinu. Hazinu and Shemiah. Heozein usually means a very careful listening, with listen to the fine points, and Shmiya means you listen, or maybe it means that there's so many interpretations. Hazin means that you hear the words. Shmi is like Shema Yisrael, understand, listen to the words, and let them penetrate and understand the depth of what I'm trying to bring across to you. So here David says to Hashem in the name of Klal Yisrael. Amorai, my words, Ha'azina Hashem, listen to my words, Bina Hagigi, understand my thoughts. The word Hagigi means my inner thoughts, the thoughts that accompany my words. The Metzudas David, How does he translate the word Bina Hagigi Asher Tefilosiki Bekavona Saleit? There's no mitzudo sion. The word Hagigi means my inner thoughts. Pasuk Gimel Hakshiv Lekol Shavi. Another word, Kamir. It also means to listen, hearken, right? Hakshiva means to pay attention, to discern, to listen. It also has a ring of listening to it. There's the mitzudos sion. He says it means Inyan Shemia, to listen. The Malbim in the Be'or Hamilots, the word on the page 39, the Malm Hagigi means Hegyon Libi. Okay, that's why it's associated with the word Bina. And Hakshiva Moisef Al Hazina, Sheyakshiv Gam Meirachoik. So the Mitsuda is the Malbim tells us what is the difference between the word Hazina and the word Hakshiva from far. You can hear what I'm saying even from a distance. Poetic. Hakshiva l'kol shavi, to the sound of my cry. The word shavi means my cry. Malki, this is a very famous expression. Malki ve'eloi koi ki elehecha esfalo. This is the same as slichas. Malki, my king, ve'eloi koi, my God, ki elecha, to you esfalo, to you I pray. Very interesting. When we say Avinu Malkeinu, we do not say Elokei. We say Avinu is a father. Malkeinu is our king. We don't call Hashem in that classic prayer as our God. Okay, our God. We do say at the end, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Think about the sequence. The final plea, the SOS, the last thing that we do on Yom HaKippurim before by Ne'ilah, is first we recite Avinu Malkeinu. And after we finish Avinu Malkeinu, what do we say? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchus. So then we go to Malchusoi, his kingdom, Malchus, again, Melech. And then we say seven times, Hashem Hu Elokim. So we do in the middle have Malchus, we have Melech sandwiched, but we bring together at the end of the davening three different principles. Hashem on the one hand is our father, Hashem on the other, and second number two is our king, and Hashem is our God. Three things. We typically don't look at it like that. We look at it, either it's Hashem Elokeinu, you think of it, Hashem is our God, and or we say Malchus, Malchio is Zichronis and Shefers. There's no part of davening in Rosh Hashanah we say, Kodesh Baruch, you're our father. We don't make a Baruch that you're our father, but yet, B'ni B'chari Yisrael, the Jewish people are Hashem's children. We're called Hashem's children. Each word we all know triggers in our mind a very different relationship. When you look at Hashem as your father, you know you can get away with a lot. You know, but you also, it also expresses love. When you think about Malchus, what does that mean? It means power. Hashem is powerful, but Malchus, in our minds, it's power within the framework of Derech HaTeva. There is nothing the Malchus can do, but Al Derech HaTeva. If the Melech wants to build the bridge across the Atlantic Ocean, they can do it. They can do Al Derech HaTeva. They'll have to spend trillions and trillions of dollars, but it can be done. Okay, if the whole world would want to get together and build a bridge across the Atlantic Ocean so you can drive to Eretz Yisrael on a road, they can do it. There's no doubt it can be done. There's technology available today for it to be done. It'll only cost who knows how many trillions of dollars, and how much work it would take and how long it would take to do, but it can be done if the kingdom wants to be done. And then there's Hashem is our God. If Hashem wants, He can, in the next moment, you'll be there. Through Lamala Miderech HaTeva. There's something called Kefitza Saderech. There's Siyata Deshmaya. It's a whole different link. Hashem is Avinu, He's Malkeinu, and He is Elokeinu. When Yom HaKippurim comes to an end, we first dwell upon Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu. And then after that, we shift to Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Hu Elokim. Okay, Baruch Shem is in the middle, which is, has to be understood. Why is that there in the middle? Baruch Shem Kiloi Malchuso Le'olam Voed. You're mentioning Malchus, you're not mentioning Hashem as a God. But the other two parts of that sequence are Hashem is Elokeinu. And here we have a pasuk, and in this pasuk it's very interesting that we select Malkeinu and Elokeinu, and we omit Avinu. Okay, so you know, these are three different types of relationships that we have with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and why in each given situation you have to always analyze and judge why we select one, not the other, or if you're going to select two, why did you choose to omit the third term? And in any event, Hakshiva l'kol shavi, listen to the sound of my cry, Malki v'lokol, you are my king, and you are my God. Okay, we're not saying that you are my father. Ki elecha es falol, to you I cry out. Let's look at Rashi. There is,
also from this part, different, he says from Amarai, and then Adibi, and then he says Shavi, and then Eftalal, and then he says Koli.
The next pasuk,
all
the different words, everything, including the kitchen sink. Every possible word, every possible expression. There are many synonyms. It's very rich. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk beis. Amorai hazin Hashem kishkeish bikoach loymar tzirachai lefonecha. Now here Rashi is giving us a very deep interpretation of this pasuk. When I have koyach, according to Rashi, Rashi is very deep. Rashi is waxing poetic here. When sometimes I have the ability to come to shul and express myself, I'm in a frame of mind. I have the time. I have the presence of mind to eloquently express myself before you. That's what it means. Hazi amorai hazina. Again, Rashi. Kishyesh bikoyach. I'm healthy. I'm willing. I have the time. I have the opportunity. Loimar tzirochai lefonech. And likewise, and what happens when I can't? I'm sick. Or I'm on the run. I'm running in the forest. I'm running for my life. And I don't have the time now to sit down at a table, put on my talis and tzillin, have yishuv hadas, and daven with the tzibur. I'm running for my life. I have no yishuv hadas. I can't daven to you. But when I'm running for my life in the forest, my mind is focused. Hashem, help me. That is the next part of the pasuk. Uch she'ein bi koyach l'esval lefonecha. The worry, atzura belibi, is collected in my heart. Then, bina Hashem, even without me opening up my mouth, understand my thoughts, the tsar that I am going through, and I beg you, please save me. Bina hagigi, havein, understand, hegyoin libi, kach mefarish b'medrash. Called bina shemikra hatam tach. Then he goes into some grammar. Whenever it says the word bina, bina is mila'el, meaning the emphasis is on the first syllable. There are two syllables in this word. Bi, no. Bi is number one, no is number two. Where do you put the emphasis? Is it bi, no, or is it bina? So Rashi is telling us some rules of grammar. Kol bina, shel mekwa, hatam, tachas, hanun. Ordinarily, it's the mila, ra, ordinarily. Ordinarily, it's mila, ra, it's bi, no. Chutz mizeh. Rashi says this is a notable difference. Here it's going to be bina, not bina. No, that's what he says. Let's you know, not necessarily. Chutzmiz, let's see. Chutzmiz, if a chavei b'shemiyov, v'im bino shemazois, she'enoi shemdo. That's what you're saying. It's not. It is not here a noun. Elo l'shoin havein. It is a. We call it a verb. I don't know if it's called a verb. It's a verb. It's a request. Okay, it's been used. It's a tzivui. Tzivui is not really a verb. It's a verb. Yeah. In English. Okay. I don't know. Fine. It's a verb. Kumai bin tavin asher lifnecha. Please understand. It's a double expression. Bin tavin. Two words which mean the same thing. It's a poetic expression. Please understand what I'm presenting before you. Lefichach hatam tachas habeis. So we have over here a beautiful law of grammar. Whenever it's bino milra, the emphasis on the second syllable, it's a noun. Understanding. There is a principle in this world called understanding. It's a concept.
Someone
has understanding. Go to a school and they will give you understanding. It's a noun. Whatever it is pronounced, milra, mila'el, that's bina, it's a tzivui. please understand, stop what you're doing and think. Think about this. It's a command. It's a command. Action is needed. I'm commanding you to take action in this regard and understand. Then it is pronounced Mila'el. Bina. He had a little taste. That's when Kriyas HaTorah, the Baal Kriya, you better know his Mila'el and Mila'ras. Because sometimes it makes a major difference. Like this past Shabbos, there's a great word. Shavu and Shavu. Rashi says. That was the riddle. The riddle, one of the riddles on these riddle questions. Which word in this week's parasha of the Baal Kriya, does not say it correctly, Mila'el Mila'ra? It's a different word entirely. Not just past. Sometimes you have words like this. It's this, like in this example, it's not so bad. It is bad. It's a difference of meaning. Meaning, is it a command to understand, or is it the concept of understanding? But at least it's the same word. It's understanding. It's a question of how you use the understanding. But there, and sometimes the difference when you these words like Rachel ba, Rachel ba, is it the present tense? Is it the past tense? This week's parasha had a word which is a different word, an entirely different word. If it's shavu, it means a captive. The brothers of Yaakov, the children of Yaakov, when they attacked, they shechem and chamor, shavu. Vayavozu. What does it mean, shavu? It's milra, captives. They took prisoners, shavu. But if the Baal Kriya makes a mistake and it says shavu vayavozu, it means return. That's a bad mistake. It's a different word. You can't get away with that. Lanu
and bonit. Lanu means hours. Or
lanu.
Over.
Lanu means to sleep over. Lanu. Lanu is ours, lanu. So you have
and
examples.
Banu to build or to.
Banu or.
Banu.
Banu.
To build.
To build or us. Excellent. So you have different words. Different words, which depending on where the emphasis is, that makes a world of a difference. In English, you don't really have an address. Same, it's the same spelling. Not mistaken, the same spelling.
Same spelling.
So if it's to say, what's your address, right? But if you're giving a speech, I want to address the tzibur. I want to address the audience.
Right.
It's spelled the same way, right. and the way the mila'el mila'ra, the way you emphasize the word makes a word. That's very uncommon in the English language. That's very uncommon. To have such a thing, to have a word that's spelled the same way, and the inflection makes a difference in meaning. Very, very rare. But in Lashon HaKodesh, it's not so rare. And Rashi is a very good Rashi. Rashi says the word bina versus bina, what the word means. But in any event, we have over here a very, very deep interpretation of Rashi. Rashi over here is not satisfied for poetry. And Rashi says that the entire pasuk Amarai Hazina means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I'm able to, I will come to shul and I will recite the prayers. And when I'm on the run, Hashem, I want you to look into my mind and read my thoughts. That also should be considered to be a prayer to Hashem. This is a very deep idea because we very much are influenced by the idea that unless you actually get the words out of your mouth, doesn't count for anything. And the person davens to Hashem, if you want to pray, you have to pray. You got to sit down, you have to daven, say the words, you have to say the Shemona Esrei. It takes time, effort. It's an avoda. A person is running around the whole day and in his mind he's thinking, Hashem help me, I need your help, I need your assistance, that we don't really get the impression from Chazal that it counts for very much. We don't get that impression. Yet Rashi here says it does. Rashi is a very powerful pasuk, because I think most of the commentators, I didn't dwell deeply on anything, but when you read this pasuk, what would you say? I would say at face value, Amarai Hazina, it's the same thing. I'm saying words, and my words that are coming out of my mouth are accompanied by my thoughts. Kavana. You see these people, they daven long Shemona Esrei, they shakel, so they're saying words, and the words they are saying are accompanied by thoughts. Amorai, listen to what's coming out of my mouth, which is accompanied by my deep thoughts. Let's say you only have half of the pasuk, it's worthless. If you have lip service, and no, there's no thought process, so what's it worth? Let's say you sit there and you think, you mechashev the whole Shmoneh Esrei from beginning to end. Are you yoytzei? You're not yoytzei. You have to actually get the words out of your mouth. You need both together. Isn't that the Pashup Shat? Along comes Rashi, and Rashi says, no, one is good without the other. There's something called Amorai HaAzina, that is okay. And then there's something called Bina, understand Hagigi, understand my thoughts. Even if those are not accompanied by words, especially when you hear about these horrible stories of the Holocaust. You hear the people, they know what they had time to daven, they had to, it was a relationship of Machshava. The 6 years of the Holocaust, Klal Yisrael, more or less, were in a deep state of Bina, Ha-gi-gi. That's the state that they were in. There was a disruption of Amorai Hazina. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Gimel. Hakshivu, there's no Rashi on Pasuk Gimel. So now we go to Hakshivu L'kol Shavi. Listen to my voice. Malki L'kol Yelech Hasbelo. Pasuk Dal. Hashem Boiker Tishma Kolim. This is a very beautiful Pasuk. There's a lot of commentary on this Pasuk. Hashem in the morning. Hashem Boiker in the morning. Tishma Kolim. Listen to my voice. Boiker in the morning. I will arrange for you. I will arrange l'cha. I arrange my prayers before you to you. Va'atzapeh, and I anticipate. I yearn. Sipisa l'Yeshua. Okay, did you yearn for the coming of Mashiach? The word is a very powerful word. The yearning. Now this. Let's see. Rashi. Pasuk Dalid. Boiker tishma koli. Ba boiker. In the morning. Anikare l'cha aleihem. Rashi learns that this is a prayer directed to Hashem to help him from his enemies. Shehu eis mishpat borishoim. It's a time when Hashem punishes the wicked. Kimo shenemar labokodim atzmis kol rishi aretz. In the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wipes out all the, Hashem cuts down all of the wicked of the earth. Heye ziroyom labokarim. May you be powerful, may your strength be in the morning. This refers to wiping out the enemies. Ki baboiker, baboiker yavar. In the morning, the enemies will pass away. Rashi is introducing here a principle which I never appreciated. Certainly, that doesn't mean anything, but it's a very strange idea that the time when the wicked are obliterated is the boker. In the afternoon and the evening, the wicked prosper. The only chance you have to wipe out the wicked is the early morning. Now, if you want to look at this as a metaphor, then okay, darkness.
Rabbi, which morning is this, an Eretz Yisrael or
every day. General, the pasuk says. I mean,
wherever you are,
the zman, wherever you.
Okay.
Whatever it means, this is very obvious. But this, now let's look
since
at this process.
Since they first started in the morning.
In the morning, okay, but let's look at this as a metaphor. It's very easy to understand. The night is choshech. The night represents hester upon it.
And danger.
That's when all the mazikim come out. That's when under the cover of darkness is where the mazikim, the shadim, the mazikim, all of the koyach of the evil forces thrive at night. It's a metaphor. Like you have in the Gemara, Masech the Brachos,
so
don't go,
Bila.
You
stay up the whole night.
The whole night?
One word, Kalein.
Oh, so no. Kalein. When did he say Kalein? That was. When was that 1 second? Somehow, the koyach of Ra thrives in the time of darkness at night. Light represents the light of Hashem. The Or, Chanukah is coming. Right? Chanukah, and this fits very well into Chanukah. Chanukah, we have the Nitzachon of the Gibor B'yad Chaloshim, Ram B'yad Matvim, B'yad Torim, B'yad Tzadik. Why is the miracle of Chanukah expressed with Neiros? Light. Because when in the world there is light, when is the time when the light is dominant? In the morning, in the boker. In the boker, when the light comes out, that is when the forces of evil melt away. Chanukah, we express the nitzachon with or. Last week's parsha, vayeovek ish imoy, when? when was the Sar Shel Esav dominant? Ad Alois HaShachar. When Alois HaShachar arrived, the early morning arrived, Alois HaShachar, then Shalcheni, Ki Ola HaShachar. Now I have no power. My powers are gone. So this, when you look at this as a metaphor, darkness, the Koich of Ra, Boker is when the Ra disappears. So Rashi over here is taking this pasuk, which I don't think anyone, most people don't look at it. When you read this pasuk, you don't think of it like that. You say Hashem, Boiker, Tishma Koili, Boiker in the morning, Erach Loch. Erach usually means to arrange. I will arrange for you my prayers. Va'at Sapeh, and I will have hope, yearning that my prayers will be answered in regard to what? Why the Boker? Why not Mincha? Marv, we'll have a whole medrash over here in a few moments about don't we have a halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the best tefillah is Mincha? Elio Hanavi was answered at the time of Mincha. Isn't Marv a very special tefillah? Yeah, they're very special for specific things. Mincha is a very good time for Shidduchim. Marv is a very good time to pray for protection. Shachris is a very good time to pray for the demise of our enemies. Every time prayer has its maila for something very specific, to obliterate our enemies. That's what Rashi says, how he learns in the pasuk. It's Rashi learns that the maila of shachris is to arrange erach loch. Where did Rashi get this? Possibly from the word erach. Erach means to arrange. But if I'm not mistaken, it's also a word that is used in battle. You arrange, you lay out your army. It's like a word of arrangement.
In Shanos, you have Erech Shuv Yom Tzom Pishi. You know, that's one of the things. Mm-hmm.
It's a word which, for some reason in my mind, it's used in reference to battle plans.
Yes.
Okay, so in the morning, a person should have more kafana by Lamal Shina Maltin Sikva.
Okay, so if you want, and Echram, you're right, exactly. The Shachris is the time that's Mesugal for the defeat of your enemies. It's very interesting. We give obviously the tefillah in the morning and much more emphasis. Shacharis is by far the longest prayer. It's the only prayer where we wear talis and tefillin. It's the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, which was the first of the patriarchs. And Shacharis, when we look at Shacharis, we don't look at it because this is the time when we need to wipe out our enemies. We don't look at it like that. We look at Shacharis for other reasons. But in any event, this is the way Rashi learns Shat in this verse. Obviously, other Perushim, but we leave over here with Rashi Navat Sapeh. One more word of Rashi on page 30 and on the left side. I anticipate Shetaseh Bochem Mishpat. I anticipate that my enemies will be defeated. They will be served justice. Next pasuk, Hey Kiloy Kel Chofetz Resha. And Mordechai, you're right. There's something with this air conditioning over here that's not right over here. I don't know. After doing a break, we'll try to figure out what's going on here. Pasuk Ki Loi Kel Chofetz Resha Ota. You Hashem and Pasuk, you are not a god. Ki Loi Kel Chofetz Resha Ota. You do not want wickedness. Lo Yigur Chora. It does not sojourn with you in the original Ger. Ger means sometimes. First, it's a very powerful word. First, it says Hashem does not have any desire for rishus, and it does not even stay overnight. For a short period of time, the principle of ra. This pasuk obviously is a major pasuk in reference to rejection of many religions, especially the Christian religion. Okay, Christians, this is a stira to everything about the Christian theology. Because they believe when a person comes into this world, where is he going? Straight to Gehenna. This world is the prozdar. The prozdar legehenin. You want to get out of Gehenna? You got to have redemption. How many people have redemption? How many good men have redemption? Few and far in between. That's what they believe. Klal Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lohem Chelek Lo'olam Haba.
There's no position.
You gotta really mess up big time to go to Gehenna. This pasuk makes it very clear. Ki Loi Kel Chofetz Resha. In the churches, all of their murals are all about the devil, all these, all the force of Gehenna. coming to get you, and the salvation you need. You need salvation. It's mamash. It's like you really see it today. Fear. That's how you control people. There's so much been written about this and said about this in the last 2 years. The way you control people is through fear. It's when people are afraid, especially of something invisible, rightfully so. I'm not saying it's not true. Okay? There's a disease out there in the world that's we never had such a thing like this before. An invisible, maybe I shouldn't say we didn't have it. We did have it, yes. It's not true. We did have it. But you have an invisible enemy. Invisible enemy. If you're afraid of an enemy, so you see a soldier, he has weapons. Yes, yes, right. Everything's invisible today. Invisible. And you're terrified. Right, right. Fear. Fear. So when you're afraid, then it's so easy to tell you, okay, you're afraid. We have the solution. Just listen to us and you will be protected. Christianity does exactly that. Christianity brings upon mankind fear. You come into this world, there's an invisible enemy. It's even more invisible than COVID. COVID, at least under a microscope, you can see. Supposedly. This, you can't even see. Gehenna, you can't even see under a microscope. You come into this world, guess what? The forces of evil are here to get you. But if you believe in us, the church, salvation. It's an incredible technique to control people. The way you control people is by telling them you're all going to Gehenna. You're all going to purgatory. And if you give us your money, give us your money. Church, I don't know which church was, how much money the church has, how on history. They own the land, they own property, they own everything. And control the people by believing in us, you'll be redeemed from where you're going. It's an incredible, incredible tactic. But you have to create, to control people, you have to create fear. That's the most important thing. By Klal Yisrael, this is kefira. V'ha'ikar. V'ha'ikar. Nachman and Breslov. Loi lefachet oid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Hashem, there's no ra. And there is no resha. Hashem is not coming to get you. Kiloy kel chofetz resha. Hashem does not appreciate wickedness. Lo yigur chora. There is no such thing as evil. The evil force do not exist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the God of chesed, of toiv, of ar. And when you work with that principle, then you can't control anyone. You really can't control anyone. That's the main difference between Yadus and all other religions.
Or the current secular religion, the world is going to end soon. Climate,
all of these things are forms of control, of instilling doomsday in man. Doomsday, the world is going to heat up, and we're going to, all these things are going to happen to us.
But don't you say that a born with the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah comes much later?
Fine, but that's not Hashem. The Yetzirah is a creation of Hashem that Hashem put in us, which gives us a Nisayon. But ultimately, Hashem's on our side. Christianity, Hashem's on your side. The world is ra. Everything is ra, ra is evil. The whole world is Gehenna. You have to do certain things to pull yourself out of it.
And yet they're preaching quote unquote love. Love.
That's the law. Whenever someone says to you, whenever someone has to preach love, it automatically means, when someone has to say, trust me, the first thing you know is, stay far away, right? This pasuk is an outright rejection of millions of people believe in. Millions of people believe that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. And you have to pull yourself away from that through doing certain things to save them. It's a powerful pasuk. Look at Rashi. Ki loy kel chofetz resha ata. Rashi is continuing his theme. And since this entire chapter is a prayer to eliminate the wicked, and the ideal time to pray for their elimination is the Boker, And Hashem says, David is saying, Hashem, it's easy, because since the truth is that by you in your presence, there is no ra, there is no evil, so it should be very easy for you to eliminate these people. Because the ra doesn't anyway belong with you. Pasuk Zvav, lo yisyatsu hoylim l'negedei necha. The hoylim, that's a really good word. Rashi, let's, before we look at the Rashi, look at the Mitzvah's Tzion. Hoylim, shaitan, foolish people. The ar bevei hadas, people whose minds are deficient. Their minds are confused. That's a whole different translation than shaitan. Okay, shaitan ve'ar bevei hadas, v'chein v'das hoylis v'sichlis. Look at the Malbim.
Hololus.
Hololus. That's a different translation. Madness is not necessarily the same as shaitim and people that are confused. The Malbim doesn't translate the words, surprisingly. Not in the really interesting, in the Be'er Hamilos, he doesn't translate the word. Now we go to Rashi. Rashi says Mishtatim. Mishtatim means shaitim. The same word as shaitim, but it's in a different binyan. Mishtatim. It means people who, if I'm not mistaken, it means people who make other people into shaitan. It's a whole new world. We're very familiar with shaitan. People who are just shaitim shebayilam. The Gemara says many, many times. It's my favorite expression. Shaitim shebayilam. The shaitan.
Right?
What?
You like the way I translated that expression.
How do you translate it?
I told you recently. World-class fools.
World-class fools. Shaitim shebayilam. But Rashi here uses the word shaitim in a different binyan. People who make other people fools. Mishtatim. Rav Kalman, am I saying that correctly? Is that correct what I'm saying? The grammar of the word? Mishtatim. Those who cause, who influence other people to be shaitim. You give people... What?
College professors.
Yeah. Mainstream media. MSN. Is that correct, the word, or a common? Mishtatim means those who make others foolish? Is that correct? Mishtatim.
Well, they act like
Mishtatim. The word Mishtatim, I'm translating, is this correct? Those who make other people fools. You are hifl. You cause other people to be fools. That's a whole new world. A whole new world of wickedness. Not only are you foolish, you want other people to be fools and to suffer the consequence of being foolish. So this is... Okay, so this is Rashi's, this is very unique translation of the word hoylim. Mishtatim, people who are making other people fools. V'losh nagoda, me'ur bovin, confused. People who are confused, they're chaotic. Rabbi Chol, you have the Judaic press there? You have that?
What David did in
Achish
Merkad, he made himself foolish.
Sorry?
He made himself foolish.
At one point in time. Right? That's the Medrash. The Medrash is David complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's no point in insanity. What benefit is there that people should become insane? And then the day came when David himself needed this media, he had to feign insanity. Let's go further. Next pasuk. Okay, right side pasuk Zion. Okay, pasuk Zion. Ta'abed doivrei chazav. All right, I skip. Pasuk Zion. Lo yisyatsu hoylim l'negei necha. That the people who are foolish, those who make others foolish, do not sit. They do not get a seat in your presence. Sonesa, you hate. Kol paal le'avin, you hate all those who are practitioners of oven of sin. Right, next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin, ta'abed doivrei chazav. You destroy those who speak lies. The word chazav means a lie. There are many words for lies in the Torah. Sheker. Sheker is an expression. Sheker v'chazav. Two words which mean the same thing as far as we are concerned. Chazav means a lie. There was a person called by this name. Kozmi. Kozbi was the princess of Midian. Why was she called Kozbi? So I heard from Rabbi Shur, of Avraham Shur Shlita, because she represented taiva. What did she do? She caused Zimri to be nichshol. Zimri and Kozbi committed an act of zinus in public for all of Klal Yisrael to see. Taiva, enjoy yourself in this world. Why should you hold back? Why should you hold back? Have all the engage in all of the forbidden pleasures. Enjoy yourself. That attitude is a big lie. When the world, when the goyim say to us, "What are you religious? What's this all about? You're religious. You don't. You cover your eyes. Your nizhar in shira seinayim. You put filters on your computers, and you don't. Separate seating. No mixed dancing." Going to, what's the big deal? Enjoy yourself. Taiva. Have pleasure. What's the big deal? Enjoy yourself.
Maybe
nothing.
Something maybe more along the lines of deceit.
Okay,
as opposed to just,
Cosby, this princess from Midian, who seduced a Nasi in Klal Yisrael, Zimri, that's, she was a representative for time for all of us. Come, enjoy yourself. Be nichshol. Come, marry non-Jewish women, engage in all of the forbidden pleasures. Kazmi. Nothing will happen to you. It will not take you down a path of destruction or korban. Everything will be fine. This is the biggest lie the world has ever been presented. This is a chazov. The reason Kazmi was called Kozbi, because she was promoting promiscuity, and promiscuity is you'll have pleasure with everything which goes along with it. This is the biggest lie in the world. This is Kozov. It's outright lie.
Rabbi, there's a short maisa on this point that happened about 10 years ago. A very serious girl, very pretty girl from the Philippines came. And she was in, Bayonne, New Jersey, in a school there. And it was the yeshiva nearby. And when she used to walk in the street, all the men used to look at her, the goyim. But the yeshiva boys, when they were out there playing, they all looked away. They don't look. She said to herself, "This is something here. This religion is something. They're not even, no one's paying attention to me." She looked into it further, and the end was she was Megayer. And she married a firm boy. I happen to know who the boy was. Yeah.
Interesting. He made a reshum on her. Okay, let's finish over here. Look at Rashi. David is being misfalt Hashem ta'abe, destroy those who speak words of lies. Ish damim, bloodthirsty people. Umirma, deceitful people. Yisoev Hashem. Individuals who are bloodthirsty and full of deceit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he detests. Rashi. Rashi pasuk zayin. Ish damim umirma ze esav harasha v'zaron. Okay, code word for esav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a hate. He detests. Esav is called an ish damim umirma. Pasik ches. The famous pasik v'ani. Now is the contrast. I, David, b'roiv chastcha, with an abundance of your kindness, although I enter v'esecha, your home, eshtacha v'ay ba'aden al hechal kotshcha, your holy abode, the Yeratzecha, fear. The sitter, David stole this from the sitter.
Yeah.
Plagiarized. Pasuk Rashi, Vani Avo Veisecha, I come to your home. Lehoida Islucha, Beroiv Chastecha, through your abundant kindness, Shehif Lesa Aleinu, that you've done wondrous things for us, Lehar Oisenu, to show us, Shehif Lesa, there are different Nusach Acher. Nikama Mayhem. So this pasuk, I don't think anyone, well, many people, think about this translation, this interpretation, when they say this pasuk every single day. They don't think, what do you think? You just say, Vani I, Beroiv Chastcha, with the abundance of your kindness, I come to your home. I come, what do you mean with the abundance? To be able to have the opportunity to come to the base of Knesset is a tremendous chesed. Freedom of religion, to be healthy, to walk, to get up, to be able to come to the Beis HaKnesses is an incredible chesed. That itself is a chesed. And I bow down, El Heichal Kot Shecha, I bow down to your holy abode in fear of you. That is what we, I think that's what the average person thinks about when they read this pasuk. Rashi says, that's not what I think when I read this pasuk. What I think is, I come to your home in order to bow down to your holy abode with fear. The chesed, what? I should be able to. I'm yearning.
If you don't mind,
I would like to. So he learns here, we don't think of it like this. The roiv chesed here is, I'm coming to shul for a purpose. To thank you for being able to witness the churban of my enemies. That's what he says. I come to you, shifleis lim lahar, is to show us your vengeance. Shifoi chamoscha el hagoyim asher lo yidu'ucha. And Rashi adds that you have shown. This is a very important idea. When Lot ran away from Sodom, what did Hashem say to Lot? Don't turn around. Do not look. Do not witness what's about to happen. I don't want you to see the mushroom cloud. Why? Because you should be in there also. You do not deserve to see the Churban, because you should have been destroyed as well. The only reason why you're not being destroyed is only in the discourse of Avraham Avinu, not in your merit. And this is a very common idea, that every time there's a Churban, do we deserve the merit to see it? If we witness the Churban, if Hashem brings it about that we do witness the Churban of our enemies, it means that Baruch Hashem, we're not like them. And we're better than them. We deserve the salvation in our own merit. If a person deserves salvation in his own merit, he gets to see it. He gets to witness it. If he only merits salvation in the merit of somebody else, he does not get to see it. He's not deserving to see it. That's why there are many people that ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may we witness, may we see it. Why do we emphasize the ability to see it? We're really asking Hashem to save us from them, that we should be righteous. You should grant us siyata d'shmaya, that we should be good, holy people, and we should earn salvation in our own right, and not just in the merit of our avos, zuchus avos, bris avos, or somebody else. Rashi here says, Vani ovo v'sechol, I come to your home, lohoido is l'chot, to thank you. Rashi puts a comma. The comma here is, I'm coming to shul. Why? Because I want to thank you for the kindness that you have done to me specifically in allowing me to witness the churban of my enemies.
Yeah, Rashi's attaching this to the previous parak.
Right, he's learning the entire Rashi. He's learning the entire parak, all in reference to the obliteration of our enemies. Right. Then you've done wondrous things by giving us the ability to witness the churban of our enemies. Obviously, there are many other perushim, which Mirshem will begin tomorrow.
It changes the order of the words.
Right, exactly. According to Rashi, the words are not in order, like we always do. Vani I avo v'secha eshtachavel hechokotshecha v'yosecha. For what? In order to express the thank you for what you've done for me, to witness the fall of my enemies. Exactly. Okay, we'll take a short break. We have to fix the heat here. It's getting very cold here. It's still not giving this to me.
The air conditioner was on, not the heating.
The air conditioning mode, it wasn't heating.
No, I changed it.
Excuse me. You don't know, okay? Oh, okay. I'm from Dodge.
Okay, Rabbi, so let's learn. I just want to tell everyone, I'm not going to be here on Friday. So Rabbi Maevsky will be giving the shiur on Friday. Not only that, Rabbi Maevsky gives a shiur.
Not tomorrow.
Friday. Rabbi Maevsky gives a shiur downstairs on Friday in the Senior Citizen Center downstairs. And he's
going to be here tomorrow, Rabbi.
I'm going to be here tomorrow, Mirsham. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving, in Yirtz Hashem, I will be here. Tomorrow, there's a shir. Tomorrow, there is a shir on Friday. The only difference is, Friday, Rabbi Maevsky will be giving a shir. Rabbi Maevsky also, he gives a shir on Friday in the senior citizens, so he's going to invite upstairs here to this shir the people that attend the shir downstairs. So we'll probably have the shir in the main room, in the main base medrash. So there'll be enough room for everyone together. We'll figure it out by ear. And it will be on Zoom. Okay, so for our Zoomers, it will be broadcast live. Okay, I want to discuss today a couple of things. I want to finish off some more things about Kisi Adam. We didn't cover everything we wanted to do yesterday, Kisi Adam. And we also want to talk about a little things that relate to Hanukkah. Some things in Kisi Adam that still relate to Hanukkah and other in Yom of Hanukkah. Turkey tomorrow. Turkey, we'll talk about Bli Neder. We have to send that every year. We talk about Thanksgiving. Last year we spoke about Rush Limbaugh. Were you still alive last year, Rush Limbaugh? When did he die? No, last year. Last year we had a very good, I think I liked it, that Rush Limbaugh, he one of his biggest things in his, that he really dwelled, he wrote a book on it, is about Thanksgiving. The Makoros, the Shoroshim of Thanksgiving, and it's fascinating. His whole take on Thanksgiving is very, very unique. And every year on the radio, he would have a big show reading from his book. I think he would just read from his book. And he would explain in more detail what exactly in America is Thanksgiving all about. His yisoid words is about capitalism. It's the rejection of tyranny.
Racism.
Sorry. And of communism.
In Hebrew is a Tarnagul Hodu.
There are many words in Hebrew for to Turkey. Tarnagul Hodu, English, the English hen. I have a whole. There's a lot. Many of us think that the turkey was first discovered in America, or in India. It's not necessarily true. There are makaris that the turkey was already. They knew about the turkey even time of the Gemara. Okay, there are indications to such. It's not so simple. The turkey is a North American bird. It's not at all simple to say that. And okay, that's a different topic. So near term tomorrow, we'll figure out what we'll talk about tomorrow. But right now, it's still today. Today, tomorrow is not yet arrived. It's still today. We have to learn today also. So let's, before we run out of time, let's talk about Kisi Adam. Yesterday,